RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Cabela's, the world's foremost outfitter. Let Camp Cabela's help get you ready for your next great camping adventure at cabelas.com.
And by Campers Inn. To find your family's next RV, visit campersinn.com. And by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com. And by Penguin Random House, the publishers of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations and The Idiot's Guide to RVing, both available at your favorite booksellers today.
Everyone, welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are celebrating the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service and telling you all about the amazing Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore in the great state of Michigan.
Voted one of America's most beautiful places by Good Morning America, this truly is a magical destination that demonstrates why the national parks might be our country's greatest idea ever. We will talk about the best drives, hikes, swims, and even shopping in the Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore.
You might think that Glacier and Yosemite are the crown jewels of the NPS, but we know that Sleeping Bear Dunes will have you picking your jaw up off the ground. You are listening to episode 103, Greetings from Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore.
Before we head into this week's RVFTA News Roundup, it is time for a sponsored message from our friends at Progressive Insurance.
Did you know that adding your RV insurance with another Progressive policy like auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save money when you're out there on the road seeing the sights? Get a quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. today.
And we have a fresh new article up on Progressive's Lifelines blog, don't we?
We do. And we really enjoyed writing this article because it was very true to our experience this year. We wrote tips and tricks for RVing with your dog.
And we intentionally waited about 4 months, right? I mean, like, we had talked with our editor about doing an RVing with dogs kind of article back in the spring, but said, hey, we need to actually get some experience here. So after RVing with Maggie all spring and all summer, and it's really been a tremendous success. I mean, we just love having her with us, and there's really been few to any problems. We decided to kind of put together our best tips and tricks and make it a fun article.
Yeah, we got some
great dog photography.
Yeah, we reached out to people on our forum, to our listeners, when we first got Maggie, and we really did ask for sort of seasoned, the veterans, ideas for traveling with a dog in tow, right? So we really took those recommendations to heart. And then we also kind of said, all right, well, what do we know about our style of travel and how we're going to bring her on board with that? And so it was kind of a combination of our own personal style along with advice we got from our listeners that helped us develop that article.
Yeah, and I think it was also made easier by the fact that we were traveling north in both of our big trips, so we weren't dealing with extreme heat anywhere that we went this summer. So a lot of people did ask about heat. That's something to think about when you're traveling with a dog. But anyway, check out that article.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, not to belabor that point, but to be honest, we really don't like to travel into the heat in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, we've done a lot of traveling down south in the summer, but that was pre-Maggie. So maybe it'll change the way we approach our family travel.
I don't know. We like to get down there in the spring and in the fall.
Lots of great places to travel where it's not hot, people.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to be at the Hershey RV show. Now, the Progressive RV will not be there, sadly, but we still will be there. And we're going to provide as much information about that as we can coming up. And we're going to be doing an extra podcast or some extra podcast segments from the show. So stay tuned. We'll give you the information and we'll give you some times and places where we can meet up. And we might be giving away some free Progressive swag while we're there. We're still going to have a great time at the Hershey RV show, and we hope you come too.
Yeah, we're planning out a lot of content right now. So that's going to be fun. And I think it's going to be just a great show. It always is. It's always nice to see the 2017
start. It's nice to see what's
out.
New. And yeah. Everyone wants to know what is new. What are the fresh new units out there? And look, I'm predicting right now, you might not see it at this Hershey show, but in the next year, I think you're going to see a lot of big changes in the way that RVs look. Uh-huh. That's my big prediction after spending some time in RV country.
We can't wait. All right. So now, as you said, this was episode number 103. This is Greetings from the Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. This is one of our paired episodes, meaning that we are, you know, doing this destination, but then the campground reviews are on our Campground of the Week podcast. We can't fit it all into one show. So what we started to do back with Charleston is sort of separate it out. So if you want to hear about the Platte River Campground and the Holiday Park Campground in Traverse City, then you need to listen to episodes 42 and 41
of
Campground.
It's a hat trick of podcasting pleasure.
Yeah.
So basically, I mean, there's three podcasts you can stack up here if you're interested in doing this. And look, we're really recommending that you consider, you know, doing the trip that we did, you know, comboing Traverse City and Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. Now, you could stay at one campground and do both, or you could make it a two campground trip like we did and see both, because they're very close together and they're both awesome. I mean, my goodness, this section of Michigan is, I think, a premier place to take an RV trip.
And I also want to mention that in both of those episodes, in number 41 and 42 of Campground of the Week, there are different travel destination tips in both of them. So they both have different food recommendations, different activity recommendations. There is no overlap.
We never repeat ourselves.
No, I don't think that there's...
We work hard not to repeat ourselves. I mean, maybe there's like 5 seconds of something we said in both, but it's all fresh content.
We do try to think things, sir.
Oh, we do. We have notes. I mean, we're working off notes on this podcast. I mean, some of you people out there think we're just making this stuff up. Yeah. There's notes here.
Oh, maybe it sounds like that, but we're not. We're working hard. Yeah. So if you are planning a trip to this region, please listen to all three of those podcasts to really get a full idea for what we recommend in this area.
And if you're not on Instagram, get on Instagram, follow us on Instagram, because all of the great, beautiful photos I've been pumping out on Instagram. And if you're following us on Facebook, you don't necessarily get all of the photos because the way Facebook works now, but Instagram, I think you still do. So anyway, check out the photos that we've been putting up of Michigan. And all of you out there that are from Michigan saying, hey, thanks for visiting our region and giving some coverage to our region. Somebody tonight said, thank you for putting up the beautiful photos. I take for granted, you know, how beautiful Michigan is. Hey, you know, thank you, because we've had a great time in your part of the country and everybody's been super friendly, super nice.
You know, that's, I really appreciated that comment as well. It's funny that you brought that up, but I kind of went in a different direction with my thinking about it. You know, that person said, oh, thank you so much for reminding us of this great, beautiful place that we live in. And I thought, wow, well, that's our job as travelers. You know, like so many people think of traveling and they think of like leaving the reviews on TripAdvisor that was like, oh, I hated this place, or oh, I love this place, or why didn't this place have this or that? And as travelers, we really go into any area that we visit and we think, what is great about this place, right? Like, what does this place have to teach us? What are we going to enjoy here? Like, we go in looking to experience a new location.
And I've said this before, there are great places to visit in all 50 states. And I do think that sometimes people in the Midwest feel like their region's not appreciated enough. And hey, look, I feel like I owe Michigan a big fat apology because, you know, Stephanie went to college in Michigan and I spent a semester there. And I was just there for a few months in the winter, you know, and I've spent my 20s thinking of Lake Michigan as a block of ice, you know, and I just spent, you know, the last few weeks. I just spent the last few weeks being stunned by the beauty of the coast of Lake Michigan, the variety of options for kayaking, SUPing, swimming. I even talk to people who are surfing Lake Michigan at certain times a year. So it's a gorgeous coastline and it's so beachy.
Yeah.
Like as a Jersey guy who grew up surfing at the Jersey Shore, I never thought of it as like having such a beach culture, but it truly does. It's just a freshwater lake.
Yeah. And I just encourage, you know, all of our listeners out there, if you're RVers, to really embrace that sort of traveling mentality where you're always just kind of seeking the magic that a place has to offer, even if it's not the most beautiful place ever that you've ever seen on on Earth. Like, just really looking and seeing, like, hey, what's special about this place?
Now, I think it's a good thing. Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore is one of the most beautiful places on Earth.
It
really, truly is. I can't wait to dive in and start talking about it. So we'll be back in a second to dive into our featured topic, Greetings from Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore.
Cabela's is passionate about supporting families in their outdoor adventures.
They have everything you need to camp and start making memories that will be treasured for generations.
Check out Camp Cabela's website for fun articles and tips and tricks for getting your family into the great outdoors.
Camp Cabela's, it's in your nature. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for this week's featured topic, Greetings from Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. And I'm really excited for this episode of our podcast because we've been wanting to come here for years, really. And you were here in college, right? It's been a long, long time since you've been in this region. We've never had the kids in this region. So I just feel like we're covering a major new place on the map for RVFTA.
Yeah. And of course, we're seeing it through our fresh eyes. We always see a place through fresh eyes every time we, you know, go back to it, which is always really fun. It's like, what else can we discover about this place? So we spent a lot more time here in this location, even than a lot of people do with national parks. I mean, we spent
six nights at the Platte River Campground, which we booked 6 months ago, and we did 5 nights at Holiday Park in Traverse City. So it was a solid 11-day trip to this part of Michigan.
Which was nice because it kind of allowed us to like settle in and really like enjoy every single day and not feel like we were rushing from one thing to the next.
Yeah, and we intentionally wanted to spend 5 days in Traverse City and not even worry about Sleeping Bear Dunes, and then get into Sleeping Bear Dunes and not have to worry about going back into Traverse City, even though the boys wanted Moomer's ice cream and are still asking to drive back, even though we're hours away.
So in this first segment, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about sort of a way to be introduced into a national park. It can always feel a little bit overwhelming when you first show up and you try to decide how to do it. Well, we have sort of a recommendation for your first steps, right? To really expose you to all of like the grand sights and sort of like the things that make you feel centered in the place. And we're going to talk about the visitor center. We're going to talk about Pierce Stocking Drive, and we're going to talk about the Dune Climb.
Right. So we often start at a visitor center. I mean, even if we've done, like, we do a lot of research before we go to a place because we're doing the podcast, we're doing travel writing. So we do have a pretty strong sense of what we want to do, but we always want to allow ourselves to get recommendations from rangers to go to the visitor center. I want a magnet. I want a tchotchke. I want a book. You know, I want all that stuff too.
You want to stamp your passport.
You know, you want to just kind of soak in the vibe at the visitor center, and it might redirect you or make you kind of rethink your plan. Or if you don't have a plan, you can get one.
Yeah, we highly recommended this, especially with like a big national park like the Smokies, you know, or places like that. Really talk to those rangers and get your footing when you first get there. So the Philip A. Hart Visitor Center is an empire, which is the gateway, okay, considered the gateway to this National Lakeshore. It's sort of centered in the middle of the two districts of the National Lakeshore.
It's the Southern District and a Northern District, right?
Yeah, and so the campground, the Platte River District, okay, the campground that we sit at is in the southern area, and then there's the northern district, and you just shoot right up from the visitor center to visit that. Now, at the visitor center, there is one of those giant relief maps of the park, which I always like, and I always enjoy showing the kids and trying to give them a little bit of an idea of where we're at and where we're going for the day and what we're going to see.
And it puts that a strong visual in your mind, so as you're traveling through the park, you know where you are geographically, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. And then also you can pick up Junior Ranger activity books there when you first get there if you're going to do that. It's a good time to decide whether or not you're going to do that. And then also,
because you want to do it, you do want to get started on those at the beginning of your trip. Just a quick tip here. We waited to do most of the book in one day this time, and you just pointed out what a mistake. Like, the kids should be doing one activity a day during your stay, something like that, instead of trying to knock out an hour worth of activities in the book.
I really don't like it. The thing that we end up doing, just because you're so engrossed in the activities, and then you try to, you know, visit the book later and go back. Well, you know, I'm going to say, I actually talked to the ranger there, and I asked her, because we have done these Junior Ranger books before now, and we have some experience with them. And I said to her, are there any location specific activities in this
instead
book.
Of finding out on the fifth day you're there when you're about to leave the next day, oh, I could have done this one or that one.
Yeah.
Good point.
I said that to her as she handed me the books. And she says, no, they're all like, you can just do them later. It's no big deal, blah, blah, blah. Well, I should have actually looked through and seen whether or not, because she was actually incorrect. And in fact, there were quite a few locations.
You just said a park ranger was incorrect.
She was.
It feels like a sin.
I don't think it's a sin at all, because it's a fact. She was wrong. And I was a little bit disappointed in that too. And we had great park ranger experiences there, but this is important. And we're going to talk more about the junior ranger program on another episode. But like, I've got some thoughts on this, because she said that, and then later on when we're doing the activities, there were quite a few. I think there were three different activities that were like, look and see where you see the shrubs turn into sand. Or, you know, like, and I was like, oh my gosh, if we had talked about this right after we were at the dune climb, it would have been perfect.
Right.
Or if we had, you know, it was draw yourself where you went to your highest point on the dune climb. Boom, do it after that. So I was a little like, that needs to be a more clear, you know, conversation when you get there.
There can also be programming at the visitor centers, and there was programming at Platte River. Check out the other podcast, hear about the programming there. We actually saw the NPS Centennial Jazz Band at the Phillip Hart Visitor Center put on an hour-long concert of, like, kids' music, jazz, adults' music. And we're going to talk more about this band in a future episode, because we fell in love with them, and they're awesome. So we're going to do something with that on a future podcast episode, so we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, what an amazing thing. And then also here, like in many of the visitor centers, there's an interpretive educational little display. Okay, so off in another room, you can kind of go through and it gives you some of the history. Of course, for this park, it's the history of like glacier, right? Like glaciers moving through the area and how the dunes are actually forming. And then also some of the native cultures that lived in the area and everything. So it's a really nice little walkthrough that can give your kids a little bit more of the history and give you a little bit more of the history, both geological and cultural, of the area.
All right, so after you head up the visitor center in Empire, the Phillip A. Hart Visitor Center, Stephanie, where do we recommend starting your touring of Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore?
So in this lakeshore, just like in many of our MPS sites, do the loop drive if it's accessible and easy to do in sort of a short amount of time. Obviously, some of our parks had these huge loop drives that you kind of have to like piece out into a couple of days. But in the lakeshore, the loop drive, the Pierce Stocking Drive, is only 7 miles. And it really is a great starting point, because it gives you sort of views of basically all of the sites, you know what I mean, that you're going to experience in
the topography. So you get that profound feeling of place, of where you are.
You get great views of the dunes. You get an overlook of Glen Lake, right? So that's something that you're going to see in this park. You're going to see the smaller lakes sort of coming up against the larger Lake Michigan, of course. And then you're also going to see great overlooks on Lake Michigan.
And there's two picnic areas as well. There's that beautiful covered bridge.
When you first drive in, yeah. So there are 12 different points of interest along the loop, but not every single one of them you're going to start at, like you're going to stop at. Some of them are just sort of like, I feel like transition places where they want to like write a paragraph in the tour guide about what it's it is.
Yeah, just sort of educating you about what the geography is like and what the natural environment is like there. It's a very unique natural environment.
Right, like so you'll leave the dunes and then you'll be going through like the Maple Beach Forest, and it'll give you some information about the animals there. And you don't actually have to pull off. I think we pulled off at about 4 of the different overlooks.
Yeah, and the clear star of the show is number 9 on the map. And when I say the map, the National Park Service has like their summer newsletter, and this is the number 9 that they call it number 9 on the Pier Stocking Drive.
The Pier Stocking Drive, these stops,
it's not
actually
just
numbered. No, there are 12 different points of
Lake
interest.
The Lake Michigan overlook, where you walk out and the view of Lake Michigan is just sort of like blow your mind gorgeous. I mean, one of the best views in America.
And it's probably one of the more photographed views, right? So you can look, like you can see in a lot of pictures, you know, of Lake Michigan and of this area, you'll see that overlook because it's like a decking that goes out over the dunes and you really are stunned looking straight down, you know, hundreds of feet down to the shores of Lake Michigan. Now, this is also where there is a very sort of controversial Dune.
It's not so, it's, yeah, it's controversial in a sense, but also it really kind of shows you what the philosophy of the National Park Service is, right?
Yeah. So you can go straight down hundreds of feet, over 400 feet from this overlook. You could just run down this dune.
And young, healthy people do. And old, healthy people do.
There were dozens and dozens of people
doing this. If not 100, you know, if
even
not 100.
Even though there are signs all over the place. Now, the signs don't say, you are not allowed to do this. They say, please, please, please don't
well,
do
yeah, the
this.
Well, yeah, National Park Service, like, generally speaking, they don't say, you can't do this. I mean, they do it about
sometimes
certain things.
They
don't feed the animals,
yeah,
whatever. But in terms of you interacting with the natural environment of these parks, you know, they say you really shouldn't do this. It can take you 3 to 4 hours to get back up. And if you do have to be rescued, you have to pay for it.
Yeah, they warn you that you're going to have to pay thousands of dollars for your rescue. Because what happens is it takes you just minutes to get to the bottom. I mean, you could just fly down this hill.
People were running down and, like, jumping through the air, like, mm-hmm, flying down. You know, yeah, it's like this joyful experience of flying down. But then you see people gasping, collapsing, falling over,
yeah,
really
dehydrated,
struggling to hydrate it to get back up.
Because it is such a huge hike, and people aren't used to hiking in sand, and they don't understand what it's going to take them to get back up that mountain. Now,
an insider tip here.
Mm-hmm.
We camped next to a guy named Mike at Platte River Campground, and he said that one time they did two cars. They had a car go to the top of the Lake Mission Overlook, and then someone else, they had dropped off a car at North Bar Lake, which, mm-hmm, is not that far away once you get to the bottom. They all ran down, went for a swim, enjoyed it, and then just walked around to North Bar Lake, and the car was waiting there. So there is a way to do it without climbing back up.
And that would be fun, but not ecologically sensitive.
Well, they do say you're eroding the dunes.
They're saying that this is a major dune erosion. Now, you know, of course, like, my sense of, like, fun trumps that a little bit sometimes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if the boys were a little older, we could do this.
I would totally want to do it, even if it was sort of that circumnavigating the going back up part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't necessarily feel as a point of pride, I have to say, I climbed back up.
Would not be that hard for, you know, people that are used to hiking and everything. But I do think that people get themselves into a pickle. But we were able, we let our boys, we went down a little bit. There was, like, kind of another landing a little bit down. And
yeah,
I kind
you can
of,
go down.
You know, let him go down a little bit. And I was like,
pictures will be up on Instagram.
But I did have to promise them. So what the way that we kept them, like, okay, and not morbidly depressed, that they couldn't, like, join in the fun, was we were telling them there is a dune climb that you are allowed to do. Okay. And that was our next activity. And we highly recommend that it's your next activity too. So once you finish off the Pierce Stocking Drive, just head north just a few short miles and you are going to come to, it's actually called the Dune Climb. And this is where they have it set apart that people can enjoy the fun of that without really wreaking havoc.
Yeah, I mean,
havoc.
You can get lots of exercise in. You can really get a sweat going climbing on this dune. But you can kind of do, there's all these different sections and all these different parts. And you don't, there's not like one dramatic drop off that's
well,
going to get you in trouble.
You know, from the bottom. That's the key.
Right.
So if you're not fit, you're not going to make it up any farther
once you're tired,
than you can
you go
climb.
Back, you go back
you
down.
Get up as far as you can go, and then when you turn around, you're down in 3 seconds.
But you can get
fly.
Up mighty high.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a great picture of Theo jumping off the dunes, and it looks like he's in the air above the lake. You
yeah.
know, I mean, because you are up. So he was in the air above the lake. I mean, you're up so high. So that's, like, lots of fun for the kids. That's one of the premier things to do in Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, particularly if you got kids with you.
It was a highlight for them, and we actually went back because they wanted to do it again and again.
On a rainy
and again.
Day.
Yeah.
And here's a little tip. They have a bookstore, an NPS bookstore, right there in the parking lot, and it's just as well stocked as the Philip Hart bookstore. It might even have better stock. And the main visitor center in Empire gets really busy and crazy. And when we went into this bookstore at the bottom of the dune climb, there was, like, nobody in there. So if you want to go in and get your book or your magnet and not deal with the crowds at the visitor center, there's another one here.
And you can also buy your pass at the gate going into the dune climb also. So if you wanted to bypass the visitor center and buy your pass for the park and go into the gift store here,
yeah,
you
could
do
that. Yeah,
and you
could actually hike out to Lake Michigan.
Yes,
I mean,
you
I
can.
Think it's a long walk.
Well, and it's another thing that people start to go because it's a few miles and they think, oh, 3 miles, I can do that, right? And then what happens is it takes them hours and hours and hours, and they go, oh my gosh, we're dying, we don't have enough water, blah, blah, blah. We are more conditioned to walking. It's a big deal in this park. We're more conditioned to walking in sand than a lot of people, but the rangers are constantly trying to say to people, a 2 mile hike in sand is like a 10 mile hike.
It really could feel like a much longer hike because every step is physically more work. It's harder.
Yeah. So we really feel like going to the visitor center, doing Pierstocking Drive, and then doing the dune climb is a really great sort of.
That's a day right there.
It really is.
Or it could be more than that, but you could do all that in a day, a nice long day of getting your first day going in the National Lakeshore.
Yeah, and you feel like you've seen sort of the vistas, right? And the beauty of this park within that, you know, loop of activities. So,
but yet there is so much more to explore. So we'll be back in a second to continue with our episode 103, Greetings from Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. And we're going to come back and talk about hikes and swims in Sleeping Bear Dunes.
Stay tuned. Choosing the right RV dealership is as important as choosing the right RV.
Campers Inn has thousands of RVs to choose from and has been the RVer's trusted resource for 50 years.
In 1966, Art and Fran Hirsch, along with their sons Bob, David, and Jeff, invested their family's life savings to buy 4 folding tent trailers, selling them out of their front yard in Acton, Massachusetts.
Their dream was to build a hometown dealership where every customer feels like family and becomes a customer for life.
50 years and 3 generations later, Campers Inn RV is the nation's largest family-operated dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast.
Their professional staff and certified trained service personnel are driven by the commitment to treat each customer fairly and with respect.
Find your family's next RV at campersinn.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment 2 of our featured topic, Greetings from Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. And here we want to talk about hikes and swims in Sleeping Bear Dunes. And I want to throw in a major caveat. We're not going for like a complete guide to Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, right? I mean, we were there for 5 full days. These are the hikes and swims that we did. There are so many other ones, right?
Right.
I mean, we were just scratching the surface of this incredible place.
No, but if you do the ones that we did, we think you'll have a good time because we did.
Oh my gosh. Every second of every day was great. So let's start with hikes. And I asked 2 different rangers what would be a good family hike for us. And both said, if you are going to do one hike in Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, do Empire Bluff. Some people say Empire Bluffs. It's a 1.5 mile round trip out and back. And you go through a beach in maple forest, which is nicely shaded. There's a little bit of up and down, but not too much. But it's like a very pretty wooded hike. And then you emerge onto a observation deck 450 feet above Lake Michigan. And it is a stunning place. Bring the camera, have the battery charged, bring the tripod if you're a camera nerd. Great place to also see a sunset. Sweeping views of Lake Michigan, sleeping views of the dunes, and a lot of people, like when you see pictures of Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, it's often from this vantage point.
Right. So then there is an additional path that keeps going south along the bluff. Okay. So you could keep going far, far, far. Now we went a little bit down until I said, okay, it's time for us to turn around because I didn't want to get too far back when you have to.
And we were running out of water. We were drinking a lot of water.
That's what happens when you're out there in the exposed like dunes.
And we had those Cabela's gummy bears and candies that we were pounding for snack time, and it made everybody really thirsty. Cabela's has great snacks.
Yeah. So
great hiking snacks.
So Cabela's sent us some of their candy to review, right? To test.
So here's our review, I guess. So, it was awesome.
We weren't planning on talking about this, but what we did was the candy was coming out of the box when we were first getting it. I was like, oh my gosh, candy. Okay.
So and licorice. Ooh.
Yeah. And so we told the boys, like, this is Cabela's candy. Cabela's candy may only be consumed at the top of hikes.
That's
summits.
That's our rule.
At summits. So you have to summit in order to
and
eat Cabela's
we
candy.
Did. But, you know, it's mesmerizingly beautiful out there looking out at the turquoise waters and the you know, there's a variety of colors to Lake Michigan as the water gets deeper. And it's breathtaking. These views are breathtaking.
Yeah. Now, the walk up to the observation deck and back is fine for anyone, even young kids. We continued on, and it really is a path at the edge of the dune. I mean, you are looking down, and there's not enough room for two people to walk side by side.
Yeah, I was like kind of holding Wesley's hand or carrying him. I wasn't scared or nervous because if he fell, he'd be tumbling down a sand dune.
It's not like he'd so far.
It's not like he'd get hurt or even break an arm, but it would be really hard to get him back up. I mean, yeah. It could be a little bit of a traumatic fall. So you'd want to be careful with really small kids there. One of the people looking at our photos on Instagram said, oh, I'd put my grandkids on a leash.
Yeah.
But if you want to see what I mean, I did get a good photo up on Instagram that shows you just how narrow that path is, and you get a sense of how steep the drop-off is.
But you have enough time to figure out, I feel like, whether it's a good hike for you or not.
Oh, yeah. No one needs to worry about just going out there and taking in the views and then just deciding if you'd want to continue a little bit.
And Maggie came along on this hike with us because this is in the part of the park that is pet-friendly. The nice thing in the park, in the newspaper that they hand out, is it has very clear directions about what areas dogs can go to and what areas they can't.
And I would call it a very dog-friendly national park, like Acadia. Right, in terms of the national parks you've visited, both Acadia and Sleeping Bear Dunes, you can bring the dog and do an awful lot with the dog there.
Right. So now another, there's two other trails, or a couple of other trails we want to say that we didn't get time to do, but that were highly recommended by either rangers or locals. Locals told me that they like the Alligator Hill Trail with their grandkids because it's a nice hike that has some shade, and it goes out to a nice view of the Glen Lake. And then Pyramid Point was also recommended.
And that, again, has those dramatic views from, like, you know, something like 450 feet above the lake and very steep drop-offs as well. I think it's a little bit more of a dramatic hike than Empire Bluff, from what I understand. Now, we did more swimming than hiking. And when I think of Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, I think of it as a paradise for swimming, kayaking, canoeing, SUPing. So we did tons of great swimming, and Platte River Point was a great place to start. We headed up there on our first night there. As soon as we set up camp, we raced up there, and it was like paradise. It was literally like a little piece of heaven.
This is where Platte River actually runs into Lake Michigan, and you can kind of like float, right? We had our tubes that night. We like just were floating into the lake, and then you kind of pick up your tube and go back up and float again, or you could just sit there in that little river right where there was a sandbar that separated the river from Lake Michigan. Really picturesque.
This gorgeous
place.
Little thin strip of sand where people kind of set up their chairs, and like 5 feet behind you is the Platte River, and like, you know, right in front of you is Lake Michigan. You can swim in the cooler waters of Lake Michigan or the warmer waters of Platte River. If you want to do a longer tubing run, we gave information about that on the Campground of the Week podcast. But it's a great place just to bring some beach chairs and maybe a picnic lunch and go spend the day swimming up there.
Another beach that we gave more information on the Platte River Campground of the Week was the beach that you can reach by just doing the 1 mile bike ride or hike from the campground.
It's off Lake Michigan Drive. And again, that's a nice sandy beach there. A lot of people go up there with a picnic lunch and spend the day swimming up there. Beautiful views, some nice sand to sit in and spend the day. So that's another one. And you can bring dogs there. You can't bring dogs to Platte River Point.
Right. So speaking of bringing dogs to the beach, Glen Haven Beach ended up being one of our favorite places to go for a swim.
Anytime we go twice to one place in a 6-day trip, it's caught our fancy, you know, and the water is just crystal clear, Caribbean clear for swimming.
Right. And the dogs were allowed there, so we were able to kind of bring Maggie, and we've been going slow with Maggie and water because she's a rescue, so we didn't really know what her capabilities are before we got her and like what her experiences have been. But this was a perfect place for me to have her sort of on leash and bringing her into the water and letting her swim a little and try it out.
And it's easy to get your nice private spot there at Glen Haven. It's a long stretch of beach, and everyone is able to kind of spread out and have their own little area on the sand.
And the boys just enjoyed being in this like ocean-like environment, but without the tumultuous.
Super gentle waves.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, one thing I learned about the great people of Michigan, they love to skip rocks.
Oh my gosh.
Everywhere we went. Now, if you're a podcast listener of ours and you're from Michigan, can you either confirm or reject this theory of mine that you people from Michigan love to skip rocks? Everywhere we went, people are going swimming down, grabbing some rocks, finding the good ones, and skipping them.
I think that has to do with the type of rocks that are found along the shores of Lake Michigan.
They're great skipping rocks.
They are. And so
almost
I think
hit in the face with one.
They're flat and round. And so really, I mean, our boys were doing fantastic skipping rocks.
Oh, they were getting 8, 9, 10 skips.
Right. So it's a good place to kind of like really hone your skills as a rock skipper if that's, you know, something that you need to do.
Yeah, I think the great people of Michigan are so good at skipping rocks that they'll skip rocks like right next to your face. And they know that they're not really ultimately going to hit you because they're so accurate.
Yeah, we can't say we're always so comfortable.
In New Jersey, if somebody was like skipping a rock that close to your face up at the beach, you'd be fighting them. But in Michigan, it's like, oh, they're skipping rocks.
Yeah, nobody seems to really care. All right, that's fine. We did it. We joined in the rock skipping fun we always do. Now, the next beach that, or the last beach that we'll talk about that was phenomenal, that we had a fantastic time at, was the North Bar Lake.
Yeah, I would put this on par with Platte River Point. I mean, they're all awesome.
They're all great. I can't even rank
all of them. But the beach here was gorgeous because you had the North Bar Lake, and it sort of kisses Lake Michigan. Like, they sort of get together and meet. There's like this little tiny sandbar where the waves would jump over and pour into North Bar Lake. And we rented an SUP here. I had a great time SUPing on the lake, and you could either swim in the warmer water of North Bar Lake or the cooler water of Lake Michigan.
And that's what we did. We spent hours. There was always somebody on the paddleboard, you know, either Max or Theo or I. Wes was even on there for a little while too. Somebody was always on the paddleboard, and then the other people were swimming either in the little lake right there by the, you know, bigger lake, or vice versa, you know, taking breaks, going back and forth. It was just a phenomenal place to spend the day.
Gorgeous eye candy there. And it's almost like, you know, we're at a Yogi Bear campground right now where there's like a heated pool and a not a heated pool.
Yeah.
And the boys have to like dive into the cooler pool and then dive into the warmer pool after. And it's kind of like that.
Oh,
like you
absolutely
can dive into Lake Michigan, and it was nice. I mean, the water temperature was nice, but it was like a little cool. But then you could go jump into North Bar Lake, like right there. You know, you're just like walking 5 feet and the water was warmer. So it's just a really fun swimming experience having both of those options. And same thing at Platte River Point.
Yeah. And now we mentioned that we rented a paddle board to bring out there with us. And we rented it from Sleeping Bear Surf and Kayak in Empire. And we highly recommend this place.
So nice. Mm-hmm. $40 for 4 hours. So you can rent for half a day, which is the $40 for 4 hours, or you can rent for a whole day. They were friendly. They were helpful. They helped us kind of decide on going to North Bar Lake. They said, yeah, that would be a good place to do it. And they are also a surf shop. And
I'm telling you, the quality of the products in this surf shop in Empire, Michigan.
It was like a surf shop from the Jersey Shore.
It really was.
And I have to just say really quickly, I grew up surfing at the Jersey Shore. And in the surfer magazines of my youth, there would just always occasionally be an article about surfing on Lake Michigan or surfing the Great Lakes. And to me, that was so exotic. It was like, these people are crazy out there surfing the Great Lakes. Like, there's waves on the Great Lakes. Isn't it just like frigid? And it always captured my imagination, like reading about surfing on the Great Lakes. And so talking to one of the guys at this surf shop who actually surfs on Lake Michigan, it was like a really cool experience for me. He was talking about the different places he goes and the best times of the years for surfing. I mean, obviously the waves aren't as good as they are from the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean, but people do surf the Great Lakes. They're a hardcore, hard scrabble bunch, but my hat is tipped to them.
Well, yeah, we stuck with the paddleboard and we had a great time, but they were nice. Give them their business if you want to do any rentals while you're there, because they helped us load it in the truck, strap it down, everything.
If you're into stand-up paddleboard or you want to get into stand-up paddleboard, the Traverse City Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore area is like a paradise for you, waiting for you. Not crowded, lots and lots of options, lots of different terrain, rivers and lakes and the big lake.
Yeah, it was definitely a theme of this trip, and we really enjoyed kind of diving into that with the boys. So those are our hikes, our swims, and our rental recommendation for Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. And we are going to be back in a minute to talk about maybe a more urban or
little shopping and bopping in Glen Arbor. That town was adorable.
All right, stay tuned.
Award-winning Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories.
And now is the perfect time to book your stay for an activity-packed themed weekend this fall.
From tailgate parties to pumpkin festivals to Halloween celebrations, Jellystone Parks have calendars full of fall fun.
And with over 80 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is also close to home.
Visit CampJellystone.com to find a Jellystone Park near you. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Before we head into segment three of our episode, Greetings from Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, and this segment's going to be all about the really cute town of Glen Arbor, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Penguin Random House. They are the publishers of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations, written by Jeremy and Stephanie here, and The Complete Idiot's Guide to RVing. They make for a great pair. If you want to know everything about your RV and where to go in it, there's no better pair of books.
Yeah, you can get practical tips and suggestions for things like RV maintenance and safety, but then you can also get a bucket list of 40 amazing RV destinations when you purchase these books. So you can get these at any major booksellers online or in a Sticks and Bricks store.
Yeah, and now when I go to a bookstore, I always check to see if they have it. That's the test.
Yeah, and our listeners sometimes check too and send us those little pics.
And if they don't have it, I tell the bookstore owner to stock it.
Do you really? I've never done that before.
Oh, totally.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So let's talk about Glen Arbor. So we had one kind of quasi rainy day, and we were debating whether to go back into Traverse City or not, and we ultimately decided to go into Glen Arbor, which is less than half an hour from the campground, right? I mean, 20 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. And it is just an adorable little summer vacation town with kind of like some quirky fun shops and some great food. And we pulled up, and I didn't even know this was there. The Cottage Bookshop was one of the cutest little independent bookstores I've ever been in, period, anywhere. I loved it. Strong stock of local books, both photography, artwork, posters, lots of nonfiction about this area. There's lots of great writing about Lake Michigan and the Great Lakes.
And you're talking about this bookshop, but I think that everything you said about that can go for most of the shops in this area. Everybody knows that travels a lot, that a lot of these cute, quaint towns, when you actually start going from store to store, you realize, oh, there's not a lot of great stuff here. It's a bunch of like sweatshirts or t-shirts or like the same thing in every place. But, you know, the stores here had really like artistic, unique, individual items. And I was really impressed. Like, if I didn't have three kids in tow, I could have done some damage.
It wasn't like stuffy, artistic, like galleries. It was like approachable stuff you could buy, affordable stuff. And the Cottage Bookstore was just the beginning. So after we did the Cottage Bookstore, we were all really hungry. So where did we go for lunch?
We went to the Riverfront Pizza and Deli, and it was a little bit off the beaten track down a ways, so it wasn't as crowded. It was a rainy day, so of course more people were doing what we were doing and sort of shopping.
We were running to get there because the rain was starting to come down.
So this was actually not our first choice, but we were really glad we stumbled into it because it had a really nice menu. They were super friendly. It was cozy, comfortable. The food was great. Great portions.
Portion size, gigantic.
Yeah.
So we all ordered our
sandwiches, tuna sandwiches,
pizza, whatever.
Sandwiches,
and we had enough to bring home for a complete dinner.
A complete dinner.
Everybody.
I said, I'm not cooking dinner. There's enough leftovers for dinner. And it was great.
And good pizza. Apparently, you can get good pizza in the Midwest now. When you were in college in the Midwest, they just did not have good pizza.
All they had
so
was
whoever
Hungry Howie's.
Invented good pizza in the Midwest, like whoever's responsible for that, thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Then we grabbed a cup of coffee at a local roaster called the Lilanao Coffee Roasting Company. And they had like 20, 30 different varieties of coffee. I bought three bags of coffee. We had an organic Mexican coffee that was really, really good. So it was not quite Starbucks, but not quite that total coffee snob experience. It was like an approachable coffee shop that did their own roasting.
Well, they've been around for, I think it was like 20-something years, right? Or 30 years.
Yeah, they've been around for a long time.
So this is definitely a shop that's been there before, like the third wave, right?
Exactly. And here's the thing. What I loved about it is you could go in, you could choose from 20 to 30 different coffees and get fresh roasted beans. And also, another thing I learned about you Michigan people, right, on you Midwesterns out there, you like your flavored coffees, don't you? You naughty Michigan people. You know, us coffee snobs from the Northeast, we frown upon those flavored coffees, but we saw those flavored coffees in a lot of spots in Michigan.
Yeah, everyone that was recommended to us, every like sort of luncheon, deli place, like coffee shop, there was a lot of flavoring. And they all had those flavor pumps. You know, you could get like a shot
of
the different flavors.
If you opened up a coffee roaster in Manhattan or a coffee shop in Manhattan, you did flavored coffees, like people would egg your shop.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. But
if you enjoy your flavored coffees, do your flavored coffees. You want hazelnut? Have hazelnut.
Game on.
Game on. It's cold in the winter. We get it.
Take it away from you.
And maybe black isn't good enough for you in those long, cold winters. You want some flavor to your coffee. We're not total coffee snobs.
All right. Speaking of flavoring everything,
the Cherry Republic was like a religious experience
to me. This is a fun place. So everybody knows like the sort of touristy joint, right? The place where everybody has to go. The Cherry Republic is that in place in Glen Arbor. It is as touristy as it gets. It is unabashedly
local and unique.
But it does that fantastically. So everything is about the cherries here, and it has a couple of different sections. So the one section is like a deli and little restaurant area where, you know, of course you can get like sandwiches with like, you know, cherries on it and stuff, and salads with cherries and everything. But then there's the store with basically like all of the gifty kind of items. Free samples everywhere.
Wesley almost lost his little mind.
Because he couldn't see.
So he couldn't see the samples.
That one.
Uppy.
Yeah. So there was like cherry, all these different salsas with the chips to try. There was different jams. There was candies. Just samples everywhere.
And this is adorable signage. Just fun, quirky signs. They have a real sense of humor at this place. It's also a beautiful store.
Right.
I mean, it is a beautiful, crafted, beautiful building.
So one of the things that they have on their signs all over the place is like, you know, don't forget your house sitter or your dog sitter back at home. Like, you know, this is the perfect place to get a gift for them. And you know what? They're right. It is a perfect place for that. You know, like it just had a sense of it. Like you didn't feel like it was cheesy touristy. You feel like it was fun.
Everything
touristy.
Was good.
Yeah.
And they had the samples there to prove it.
Wow. Well, here's what we bought.
Here's what we bought. I'm going to tell everybody what we bought. White chocolate cherry peanut butter. What did you think?
You know, I'm really happy. Can I say something about all the stuff we bought here with this? So I'm not a big fruity flavored kind of a person. So I get like when everything's flavored a certain way. I couldn't believe how subtle most of their flavorings.
Not overdone.
No, it's not overwhelming. So the peanut butter, I thought it was going to be like sweet. It's actually not.
No, it's really good. Yeah, it's really nice. We've been enjoying it on sandwiches. The cherry jelly, totally solid, totally good.
I'm not a jelly person. I haven't tried it.
The triple cherry granola, I bought that and I had it for like cereal in the morning. Oh my gosh, there's just like a cherry in every bite.
A cherry in every bite.
It was really good. Now, if you were to like have
chicken
this
in
for,
every pot,
if you were to have this for
bite.
Breakfast every morning, that would be expensive because it wasn't cheap to get the triple cherry
not very
granola.
Good either. Good
you
for you.
You made the cherry scones from the cherry scone mix this morning, and they rocked. They were out of this world good. Mm-hmm. Again, a cherry in every bite. We got a small bag of dark chocolate covered cherries, which we just polished off today.
Yeah.
Those are gone. And then what I really liked is they have all their different cherry soda options, and you can kind of create your own six pack. So I got
the non-drinker loves greetings in six packs.
Awesome.
Oh, and this was a favorite moment for all you people that are from the Midwest. You'll appreciate this. It was in this shop that my sons looked at me and said, "Mom, what's pop?" And I laughed.
Right.
And I said, "It's soda." They're like, "Why do they call it
so
pop?"
So I got a bottle of the true cherry cola, a bottle of the cherry soda pop, a bottle of the cherry root beer, a bottle of the black cherry cream soda, and a bottle of the cherry ginger ale. Now, that's only five. So I got one of these twice. Do you know which one I got two bottles of?
Yeah, I don't know.
The cherry root beer was so delish.
I know. You and the boys have been enjoying. I haven't tasted any of this, but you enjoyed. But I enjoyed some things from this third building, okay? So they also have wines, and they have a wine tasting room. They have an adult wine tasting room, but then they also have what they call the family tasting room.
You can sample the pop.
Yeah, the kids can sample pop, and you can sample the wines and the ciders, the cherry ciders. Now, again, I have to say the same theme ran through. I thought that I really wouldn't like any of their selections because I don't like sweet wine and I don't like fruity wine. But a lot of their options are way more like dry and subtle than I ever would have thought. So don't pass up a visit to the tasting room just because you're not like a fruity wine kind of a person, because they weren't sweet.
It's reason enough to go to Glen Arbor, to go to the Cherry Republic, and you know, plan on spending an hour or two there.
Have lunch there. It's fun.
Yeah,
it's
make it an experience, and it's a great thing to hold in your back pocket if you get a rainy day while you're in Sleeping Bear Dunes.
Yeah, and that's what we always do.
Big shout out to Crystal River Outfitters in town. We had a flat tire on one of the bikes, and we threw the bike in the back of the truck, and we brought it to them. They fixed it right away. They had a bike shop on one side of the street, and on the other side of the street, they have like their SUP rentals or canoe rentals. Super nice, super friendly, great price. If you need an outfitter in this part of the park, or if you want to canoe, kayak the Crystal River as opposed to the Platte River, which we did not do, this is the place to get your rentals.
They're your outfitter for that. So you could combo, you know, a visit with the sort of downtown area along with some sort of outfitting, you know, adventure on that same day, and you'd probably have a blast. This is a really great part of this region, and it's not to be missed.
Yeah, don't miss Glen Arbor. I mean, there's so much to do out in the natural world in Sleeping Bear Dunes. Like, honestly, it wasn't on our, we weren't really planning on doing this until that rainy day came along. And now in retrospect, I think that our visit would not have been complete without the day in Glen Arbor.
Yeah, we're happy that we ended up there. We always do. I mean, we would have picked if you had asked us, do you want to go and see the shops, or do you want to go and tube again, or sit on the beach again, or take another hike? We definitely would have chosen.
We spent some money. I mean, I've got to tell you, we spent money at the bookstore. We spent money at the Cherry Republic. I mean, you know, we went in and dropped some cash on this day, but it also put some money into the local economy, and I'm always happy to do that.
That's true, because that's what these people survive on, the tourism cult.
Now,
you know,
is that our Sleeping Bear Dunes episode? I mean, I just feel like we're getting started with this place. Like, I feel like it's our next great love affair with a single place, where we've done Acadia so many times. We're really in no rush to get back to Acadia because it's been 5 trips to Acadia over the years. I feel like this is like that next great place to explore that's within striking distance for us.
Well, I think that I'll be completely honest and reflective and think that the reason why we feel that way is because we relate to the topography of this area so much, because it is a beachy kind of a region to it. I think that it really touched a nerve in us because it felt like, you know, just something we identified and we knew so much in our hearts. Like, oh, this is what we love. We love big expanses of water. We love beach. We love hiking with water and beach.
And at the end of the day, what do our boys and what do I want to do more than anything on a summer RV trip? We want to swim.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to be in the water, and there's so many different options, and you're surrounded by beauty.
Yeah.
And it's like from one place to the next, 1 mile up the road to the next mile up the road, everything has a different look to it. At the Jersey Shore, you can go up and down the entire Jersey Shore, and it just, you know, look, I love the Jersey Shore, but most of it looks the same.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, this here, has a, you go 500 feet away, and it's like the geography is totally different.
Right. So we can't wait to go back. Of course, this is a storied, you know, region of our country. And we're so glad that we, you know, chose to celebrate the National Park's 100th anniversary with a trip to this location.
Yeah, and I have to say, I think that it is an under the radar, underappreciated destination. I think a lot of people have heard of it, but a lot of people don't have it at the top of their list. And it wasn't that crowded.
No.
I mean, look, we were there in August in the summer, and we parked every single place we went to. There was parking.
Mm-hmm.
The only place that was busy was the visitor center that one day, because we got there late against our own best advice.
Yes, we did.
So this is a very approachable park. It's a very easy park to navigate. It's an easy park to drive and to park in. It's like a stress-free national park visit.
Yeah, and we hope that you put it on your list if it's not there yet, and if you go, tell us about your trip. All right. So we are going to be right back to wrap up the show.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 103 of RVFTA. We are one episode away from our 2-year anniversary, and we still have no idea what we're doing or how we're going to celebrate it.
The date that we released was in September, our first episode. So we are not 1 week
away. All right, well, it's 2 years worth of episodes.
Oh.
So thank you so much to our sponsors, to Cabela's, to Campers Inn, to Yogi Bear's, Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, and to Penguin Random House and
Progressive Insurance. Now, before you pack up your RV, grab that lint out of the dryer and stuff it into an empty toilet paper roll for a quick and easy fire starter.
Very Midwestern thing to do, yeah, by the way.
Reuse, you know, very thrifty.
Yeah, exactly.
Just another way Progressive has you covered while you're out on the road.
Now, is Progressive going to have us covered on a return trip to Sleeping Bear Dunes next summer, Stephanie? I'm going to put you on the spot.
Well, are they going to have us covered in their new RV on the?
Oh, wait, I didn't say that.
I didn't say that. That was a slip of the tongue.
No, it wasn't. We just ordered a toy hauler. You said it, not me. We'll have to talk about that more next week. But yeah, we just ordered a toy hauler.
Jake walked in super late.
Now, you're dodging the question.
Okay.
I have this idea of a return trip to Michigan. I also want to do Petoskey and the UP and then go back to Sleeping Bear Dunes. And we didn't do Mackinac Island. So we could do a huge Michigan trip next summer, do a lot of stuff we didn't see, and go back to Sleeping Bear Dunes. What do you think? You're on the spot.
You're putting me on the spot. So I'm going to say no, because you know that there are a lot of other options out there
on the table. Nova Scotia.
There's a lot of different options. And there's a lot of different irons in the fire. There's a lot of things we got to work through before making that decision.
Colorado.
You're not putting me. We're not making a decision right now.
But notice how our two big summer trips are over, and I have already kicked into planning mode for next summer, because that's how crazy I am.
Oh yeah, I'm getting totally tortured.
A lot of our podcast listeners are also telling me where they're going next summer. They're making the reservations now.
Yeah. Well,
all right. Hey, we're gonna see you all at the campground.
We're gonna hop to. All right.
Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.